Okay, get ready for the seriously potent sound of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA. Christopher O'Reilly here, and they're the focus of this week's podcast. Who's conducting, you may ask? One of America's greatest music directors, Maestro Marin Alsop of the Baltimore and Sao Paulo Symphonies. Her leadership is outstanding, but she doesn't have to work very hard because the orchestra is just on it. I also loved the chamber music that I got to play with some of the kids. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you and welcome. We're at the Performing Arts Center at Purchase College, SUNY. That's the State University of New York, where the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America has been holding a three-week residency, preparing for this broadcast and its tour this year to Mexico and South America. This orchestra is assembled every summer by the Weill Music Institute at Carnegie Hall, and it's made up of the best teenage musicians from 16 to 19 from all across the country. One of the hallmarks of this program is that it brings in absolutely amazing coaches from top American orchestras to work with the kids during their residency. And then there's the world-renowned conductor, different each year, who takes the orchestra on tour. This year, it's the fantastic music director of both the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra and the Sao Paulo Symphony Orchestra and the director of the graduate conducting program at Johns Hopkins Peabody Institute. My dear friend, Marin Alsop, please welcome her. Marin, here we are in front of all these teenagers. What were you doing musically when you were their age?
Oh, you don't want to know. But let's see. I was playing a lot of violin, and I love playing the orchestra, but I was already down the path of wanting to be a conductor. So mostly I was trying to talk all my friends from Juilliard pre-college into coming over and playing symphonies with me. I'd try to trick them into it, and a lot of pizza, bought a lot of pizza for a lot of people.
I think
they still wouldn't come over, but I tried.
That's probably where NYO USA, the idea came from you.
That's right.
Obviously.
That's right.
Marin, let's get things off to a rousing start. Would you introduce the first piece, please?
Sure. We're going to start with a piece by the wonderful American composer and good friend John Adams. And this seemed like a good way to kick off our tour. It's called Short Ride in a Fast Machine.
Thank you.
incredible performance by the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America under Marin Alsop. They performed Short Ride in a Fast Machine by John Adams. We're going to speak to two members of this outstanding orchestra. We have Red Coltrane Ingram, 18. He's from Columbus, Ohio. He plays the double bass. And Hanai Yoshida, also 18, from Irvine, California, plays the trombone. Hanai, that was incredible, so rousing, so beautiful.
Thank you.
Before you were in NYO USA, going to one of the orchestra's performances in prior years really sort of changed your whole thinking about performing, I understand.
Yes, for sure. Around 2 or 3 years ago, I think it was the end of my freshman year, I actually got the opportunity to go to Walt Disney Concert Hall to listen to NYO USA. And what really inspired me was not only were they unified with their outfits, but they were also unified with their hearts. Being a part of it as well, I think getting to spend time with everybody for 3 weeks here and then getting to tour around, and I think that just creates a really heartful bond with each other. And I think that helps with the music as well. I think everybody can have a connection as the rehearsals go along.
Red, you also have a great story about the influence of the National Youth Orchestra program. There's another orchestra in the NYO family now. It's called NYO2. And you were in that orchestra last year. Will you describe what the organization is and what it meant to you?
Sure. NYO2's mission is to serve underrepresented communities in classical music, whether that be race and ethnicity, but also geographic location. So the orchestra is just this group of really, really talented musicians of all colors from like every nook and cranny of the country. So for me, another important part about NYO2 is that it's also partnered with the Philadelphia Orchestra. So for me, what was really cool was working with the members of the Philadelphia Orchestra, specifically, I'm a bass player, so Joe Conyers and Hal Robinson, who are, two legends, so that was like amazing.
From the top alums, let's add, yes. And it just is incredible to me, you kids just come already from such all-star background. Red, I know you lived in Columbus, but also went up to Cleveland to deal with the Cleveland Youth Orchestra.
Yes.
So you're all coming from all-star groups from all over the country on top of everything else. This year you're stepping it up to the full-fledged National Youth Orchestra of the USA, and you're about to play the second movement of the Mahler Symphony No. 1.
Yes.
As a bass player, I know you've got to love this movement.
Absolutely.
The basses, along with the cellos, give a really prominent rhythmic underpinning to this movement. It's got to be fun playing that right out of the box.
Absolutely, yeah. Mahler 1 is definitely a bass piece. Like you said, in the second movement, we've got this like hard, hard drive, but throughout the entire symphony, like it's really rough and tough, real aggressive. But yeah, Mahler 1 is just a lot of fun to be a bassist. I don't mean to speak for Maestro Alsop, but I mean like you can never have too much bass in this piece. So I think we're having a lot of fun, right guys? Yeah, most definitely.
Mahler, I know, is relatively new to both of you, but his music is so central to the grand orchestral repertoire. What's it been like working on this entire symphony, preparing to play it on tour? Hanai, what's the feeling like?
Yeah, this is my first time playing an entire Mahler symphony, so it was really exciting, and it was also challenging in a way where it's not just playing notes. Like, you have to have that specific definition of Mahler, I guess, the style and a certain, level of standard that we have to have, whether it's through articulation, dynamics, balance. I think Mahler has his own definition and way of expressing. And so we also got to know about the background of Mahler and how he created Mahler 1 as well. So that helped with, creating our own ideas, adding on to Mahler's interpretation ideas.
The emotional complexity of the piece is, it's just a lot in general. Knowing Mahler's backstory, like he was very troubled. He lost 8 siblings. So he writes his torment into his music, so that just to express that at the level that's considered acceptable is a feat in and of itself. So
brilliant, looking forward to that. Okay, you guys scoot back to your places in the orchestra and we'll get ready for this great piece of music. Thanks for speaking with me.
Check out From the Top's online video series featuring a wide variety of music videos where our young performers collaborate with professional musicians. That's at fromthetop.org. Over the last 12 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. The incredible Maren Alsop is leading the National Youth Orchestra of the USA this year. Maren, as I was listening to you rehearse this Mahler, I couldn't stop thinking about how incredible it is to hear teenagers play Mahler at this level. I don't think I've ever heard pianissimos in the strings like this. It's just a whole other level. What's the experience been like for you?
Well, you know, when we're playing this piece, I don't think of them as teenagers at all. I mean, I just think of them as fellow musicians. But I do think that Mahler is a composer who was, you know, filled with conflict and emotion. And, you know, I still feel a lot of those things today, but I certainly remember feeling it exponentially when I was 17 years old. So I think they can probably relate to the huge emotional spectrum.
Again, we are hearing the second movement of Mahler's Symphony No. 1, played by the National Youth Orchestra of the United States. Thank you. We heard the second movement of Mahler's Symphony No. 1, performed by the National Youth Orchestra of the United States, conducted by Marin Alsop.
My name is Shane O'Brien, and I play the trumpet.
My name is Chelsea Klein, and I play the violin.
Alexander Wu, cello.
Tabby Ree, viola.
Johnny May, violin.
Being here, it's been absolutely stunning.
Fantastic.
Surreal.
Inspiring.
Incredible. We all live in a dorm called Fort Awesome.
Fort Awesome is, in fact, its actual name.
A lot of people hang out in the lounge and play Bananagrams.
The Netflix and chill nights are pretty good.
We've created a pretty large Ultimate Frisbee team.
Late night Mario Kart tournaments.
For me, definitely the most memorable experience has been playing side by side with some of the most prestigious professional musicians in the country. It was around the second day, they had coaches sit inside the orchestra and play side by side with us, and that was really intense.
It's really moving to see all of the musicians so invested and devoted to the music.
I thought the most absolutely amazing experience so far was the first rehearsal with the entire orchestra. Just the first few notes of the Mahler and getting to hear the entire group play was just absolutely stunning.
It's really a beautiful thing. You know, we have all these people coming from all over the place, young people, given this opportunity to like share our experiences and emotional backgrounds to create this one really beautiful piece of music. And it's really inspiring every time that I take part in that.
And now we're going to let the NYO USA take a break as we hear one of the most beloved pieces of chamber music played by some of its members, the Scherzo from the Piano Quintet by Dmitri Shostakovich. Sort of a short ride in a cranky machine, wouldn't you say, Andrew?
Right.
We're going to have members of the orchestra to play this. They are violinists Evan Johansson and Andrew Kim. Kayla Cabrera is our violist, and Isabel Juan plays the cello in this piece. I'll have the pleasure of joining these guys at the piano. Andrew from Old Tappan, New Jersey, is at the mic with me. This is a really exciting piece, and I know it's particularly satisfying for you personally. What am I speaking about?
Well, I first had my experience with Shostakovich when I first touched the Shostakovich Violin Concerto last summer. And I would say that was my first time having a genuine and individual relationship with the composer himself, in that I didn't know that there was such a small disparity between the stereotypical prim and proper and elegant classical music and what I would describe Shostakovich as rock and roll. And who doesn't love good rock and roll? And I think that headbanging, no matter where it's from, it's still headbanging.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm excited to lose some more bow hairs today.
I'll try and break a string or two myself. Yeah. You almost didn't get to the point where you could engage with the violin and shred on Shostakovich because you almost quit playing in the fifth grade. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us what happened there.
Yeah, that's kind of a heavy topic, but I think it's more or less how I was raised and educated with the violin discipline. My relationship with violin would only include lessons with teachers and me practicing by myself in my room. And because of that kind of daily monotonous procedures, I didn't have room to experience community, you know. And I think community is the most important aspect of music because you're able to collaborate with everyone and just, you know, enjoy yourself while seeing other people enjoy themselves as well. And I didn't know that until I got into Juilliard pre-college and I actually saw for the first time, wow, there's other kids who like the violin just as much as I do. And they all understand that we all don't like to practice, but we have to do that anyway. And given that kind of mutual understanding with every single person, despite their differences and differences in backgrounds and such, I learned to appreciate violin so much more.
Well, we're glad we're getting this together, and so let's go shred, eh?
Yeah.
Let's play this wonderfully fun piece, the Scherzo from Shostakovich's Piano Quintet in G minor.
Thank you.
Scherzo from the Piano Quintet by Dmitri Shostakovich, played by members of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA. Evan Johansson and Andrew Kim, violins, Kayla Cabrera, viola, and Isabel Wan, cello. I was at the piano. Now we're going to speak to another one of these fine players, our violist, Kayla. Kayla is from Crete, Illinois. Bravo there, Kayla. Really fun doing that, putting that together with you. Great job. This is not your first time to the orchestra, NYO USA. This year you are touring to Mexico, Ecuador, and Colombia, but you've gone with them in the past. Where to?
Last year I had the great honor of joining NYO USA on their tour of Europe with stops in Amsterdam, Montpellier, Copenhagen, and Prague. I think I especially loved Amsterdam because that was a city I've always wanted to visit, so I'm very lucky.
It's a magical place. And there's something that you really appreciate about the whole NYO experience.
Right. Well, we get 3 weeks here during the residency and followed by an international tour working with principal players from the top orchestras, working with famous conductors and soloists, playing in all these great countries. And it's all free for everyone who gets in.
Can't beat that.
So amazing. Yeah,
yeah, unbeatable. Kayla, you were a late starter. I can't believe it. You know, tell the story. How did you discover classical music? And it was pretty late, right?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I was actually just watching TV one day. I was 13, and I was just going through channels, and I came across Oprah's show. And there's a little young violinist on there, and I was like, oh, you know, that's really cool. I might want to try that. So I told my parents, and I was enrolled in group lessons. And then when I was 14, I started private lessons and switched to viola.
I know. I loved your initial reaction, not only to, you know, finding about violin and wanting to give it a shot, but your reaction to your first hearing the viola. What did you say?
The first time I heard a viola, I said, wow, what is that really magical-sounding violin?
Right, absolutely. Speaking of wonderful reactions, describe what happened when you recently came across one of your musical idols.
Well, a couple years ago, I was attending a friend's senior recital at the Juilliard School, and during intermission, I kind of turned around, and I saw Itzhak Perlman sitting there, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, so I went up to him, and I was like, I'm going to ask to take a picture, maybe. And I got kind of intimidated, you know, one of the world's most famous soloists sitting a few feet in front of you. And so I eventually worked up the nerve to talk to him. And I said, you know, I listen to you like every day. I'm one of your biggest fans. And his reply was, that's too much.
You should not only listen to him play the violin, you should listen to him play jokes. He's a great storyteller. Kayla, again, it was great doing that Shostakovich with you. Thanks so much. Looking forward to the rest of the program. Brava. Kayla Cabrera, 18-year-old violist, a member of the National Youth Orchestra of the USA.
From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov. And if you like us on the air, like us on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Alliance for Lifetime Income, a nonprofit composed of financial services organizations working to educate Americans about options for securing protected lifetime income in retirement. More at allianceforlifetimeincome.org. And from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, developing solutions to support strong families and communities for America's children to help ensure a brighter future. More information is available at aecf.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Performing Arts Center at the State University of New York in Purchase. Coming up, the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America performs the world premiere of music by Gabriella Lena Frank. Special thanks this week to the staff of the NYO USA.
Maestra Alsop is by far the most passionate conductor I have ever worked with.
She is intense, inspiring, kind.
She cares about us.
I'm especially looking forward to playing the new piece by Gabriella Lena Frank.
It's fantastic because we were able to have her in the room with us.
The piece is really interesting. It has a lot of textures and techniques that I, for one, am not accustomed to hearing in the pieces that I play.
We are also playing this piece by Arturo Marquez.
He is a Mexican composer, and I love it because it gets everyone dancing. We're all dancing in our seats while we're playing, and even after rehearsal, we're all singing it in our heads and like dancing to it on our way back to the dorms.
While this is my first and only year I'll be a part of NYO, I'm excited to see where I'll end up and where all my colleagues will end up.
So far, this has already given me a good insight into what a life in professional music might be. You know, technically we're not professionals, but it's still like it's the life is so much like that of a professional musician. It's been a really cool immersive experience.
I know I will never forget the people I've met here and the friendships and connections I've made with the people here.
Regardless whether I choose to pursue music as a career, NYO has deeply furthered my understanding of music, my appreciation of all cultures, and it's a program that's just truly showed me how to be an ambassador of music and a citizen of the world.
Let's meet one more member of the NYO USA before we return to the full orchestra. Please welcome, from Colorado Springs, 17-year-old flutist Jessica Shand. Welcome, Jessica. A beautiful solo in the Mahler there.
Thank you so much.
Would you introduce the piece we're going to play together?
We're playing the first movement of the Feld Sonata for Flute and Piano.
This is an intriguing piece. I can't believe you found this. This is written by a Czech composer. Give us the background.
Yeah, so it was written by a Czech composer for the French flutist, Jean-Pierre Rampal, in the midst of the Cold War. So to me, it's a classic example of the way in which the arts can cross political and social lines.
I think the Czechs had a much more fun time during that period. Somehow it speaks through the music and the literature.
It's very bubbly.
Milan Kundera and Bohumil Hrabal, two of my favorite writers, were Czech and writing around that same time. Is it because they were drinking beer instead of vodka? What do you think? No idea. All right, let's let everybody in on this wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Jessica Shan, 17-year-old flutist, played the first movement of the Sonata for Flute and Piano by Jindrik Fagg. Time to hear again from the entire National Youth Orchestra of the United States under Marin Alsep, this year's conductor. Marin, you started a program with the Baltimore Symphony that I know is very dear to your heart. It's called Orc Kids, and that's not to be confused with the flower, but Orc Kids, is it short for something?
It's short for Orchestra Kids, so Orchids, we call it. And, I think learning to play an instrument as a young person, it really is such a tremendous advantage in life. Whether you become a musician or not, you learn skills that are useful in any discipline. You know, you learn how to motivate yourself. Nobody really wants to practice, but we have to. So you learn that doing something every day automatically makes you better at it, but you have to apply consistency. So there's so many skills, and I always felt that every child should have that opportunity. And when I became music director in Baltimore, it seemed to me that there were a lot of kids that weren't getting the same kind of access. So we started a program, after-school program for kids in West Baltimore. And we started with 30 kids in 2008, and today we have over 1,200 kids playing instruments, and they're an inspiration.
Fantastic. You know, Marin, since we worked together originally back when you were with the Colorado Symphony in Denver, you were the conscience and heart of that city, and you've become the heart and conscience and revitalization and heart of the city of Baltimore. And I just can't thank you enough for all of your hard work.
Thank you. It's my privilege.
Work.
Thank you.
I want our listeners to know that Marin and I had a more extended talk about music and her interests beyond music, and that interview is available in full when you download our podcast. Now, this terrific orchestra is going to play a brand new work commissioned by Carnegie Hall's Weill Music Institute. It's by Gabriella Lina Frank. And to introduce it, we're happy to have the composer with us. Please welcome Gabriella Lina Frank. Gabriella, I've heard you referred to as a musical anthropologist. That's in part because you've traveled extensively in South America, and many of your works reflect Latin American folklore. The orchestral tone poem we're about to hear is no exception. It's called Apu. What does the title mean, and tell us more about the genesis of the piece?
Sure. Well, as a tone poem, it follows in the footsteps of tone poems of the great composers like Sibelius and Debussy, in that the music is inspired by something that's extra musical. It's often pictorial in content or inspired by a story. And Apu is like a lot of my work, it's inspired by Latin American idioms of one sort or another. My mom's from the beautiful country of Peru, and my father's not. He's from the Bronx. And he was a Peace Corps volunteer in the 60s, and that's how he met my mother. He was stationed in Peru. So as a young child, I had to use my imagination. I had to create tone poems in my own mind to understand what Peru was like, and I found music to be the most potent way of understanding my background and my multiracial heritage. Apu is not Spanish. It's Quechua, which is the Indian language spoken by 40% of Peruvians in modern-day Peru and with the dominant language of the Incas. And the Apu is a spirit, a mischievous imp that inhabits mountain tops or a river or a rock. And Peruvians that travel through the Andes pass by many Apus, and they're hoping that no mischief is wreaked upon them. This excerpt that you're going to hear focuses on the second movement in this tone poem. It is the ayi. Ayi is Quechua for a prayer, and it's the prayer that the traveler or the passerby will give to appease the capricious spirit of the Apu. It is songful, mournful, even in quality, and conveys the spirit of a prayer.
That's genius. I've never heard anything so brilliant as having a young orchestra touring South America mm-hmm. with a benediction to Apu written by yourself. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'll be hearing the second movement, Prayer from Apu, a tone poem for orchestra by Gabriela Lina Frank, performed by the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America, conducted by Marin Alsop. The second movement of Apu, a tone poem for orchestra by Gabriella Lina Frank, performed by the National Youth Orchestra of the USA under Marin Alsop. We're going to have one last brief chat with a member of the orchestra. We have at the microphone violist Matthew Garcia, 16 years old, from Harlingen, Texas. Matthew, a wonderful piece. Enjoyed hearing that for the first time. Just beautiful. Must have been great working on it. You're another late bloomer, I understand, Matthew.
Yes, you started
playing viola at 12 in public school, but you progressed surprisingly quickly given the fact you're from a tiny town in the south of Texas and you had no one, literally no one, to give you private lessons. So how did you do it?
Well, unfortunately, I think I took the best out of my circumstance, and the way that I did that is I'm so lucky that we all live in this virtual world where really anything, any information that we need or want is at our hands within, you know, within reason, of course. But I really utilized that in the way of YouTube was probably my real private teacher here. And I would say Sarah Chang, I used to watch her Bruck Violin Concerto over and over again. And I would say my method of learning really was repetition from anything, learning how to play with my bow, to learning how to vibrato right. I learned it all from YouTube, from seeing other players, and trying my best to replicate that.
So eventually, you made it into NYO2. Now, we talked about that orchestra earlier. What was that experience at NYO2 like?
Well, NYO2 was amazing. It was my first really big summer festival. But coming into it, you know, from the experience, looking back, it was incredible overall. But in the first couple of days, it was kind of a shock coming into an orchestra in a place where so many people had been trained for so long. You know, they'd had this crazy, amazing background. And then here was I, this boy from South Texas, a little tiny town with no teacher. And I felt like I really didn't have a place in classical music those first couple of days. I felt like, why should I be here? Where is my place? I should just go back home. And I felt like that for a while before my friends eventually told me, you know, they sat me down, they said, Matthew, you're here for a reason, you were chosen, and you have a place here. And I made me really realize that no matter where you're from, no matter what circumstances that you have, if you have the dedication and the hard work and you put your all into it, you can do anything.
You come from a place that has very little classical music, but still your school in your little town was very, very supportive of your progress.
Absolutely, yes. I come from a medical magnet school in this small little town, and there's not really much of an arts community. You know, we don't have professional music organizations, but they're very big at recognizing that something is happening and trying to push forward as much as possible. So my principal, my teachers, everyone is so supportive of me. Actually, my teachers asked me to play my NYO audition repertoire in classrooms for them over and over again until they thought it was good. And actually, I recorded my audition for NYO USA in my school's study hall.
That's support, and that is community, again, coming up so
Absolutely.
Often in the show today. Matthew, bravo for all your work. And
Thank
all.
You.
Best
Mr.
of luck. Ryan. Matthew Garcia, 16 years old, our violist from Harlingen, Texas, and a member of the National Youth Orchestra of the United States.
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
To send NYO USA off on its tour to locales south of the border, they're going to finish with a piece by a Mexican composer, Arturo Marquez. The piece is Conga del Fuego Nuevo, a very festive end to our show. Marin, thank you so much for letting us in on this wonderful process with you and the orchestra, and we wish you all the best for the tour.
Thank you. I hope everybody will follow along as we're on tour, and we'll try to stay out of trouble, kind of, anyway. But we'll try to make you all proud, mostly.
And thanks to the 110 members of the National Youth Orchestra of the United States of America, this was a terrific show. It's an honor that you had From the Top with you for this. And now, Marin and NYO USA, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley and Tim Banker, with music director Aaron Nolan and assistance from Matt Dykeman. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with Chris Rando and John Servies. The orchestra mix was by Baron Gottinger. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And as a break piece for our show that we recorded with the National Youth Orchestra of the USA, I performed the C-sharp minor prelude from Book One of The Well-Tempered Clavier by Johann Sebastian Bach.